Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are taking your thoughts on the Titans, the latest in the coaching search, 615-737-1025. We've talked about John Harbaugh, Russini putting it out over the weekend that he was spending some time studying film of Jackson Dart and Cam Ward, which obviously captured the attention of Titans fans. No word yet on exactly where John Harbaugh is going to interview, but it does sound like he's going to narrow the list down and maybe three teams, maybe four teams getting up involved in that process. So we'll see what happens on that front. No word yet on exactly what the future looks like for Matt LaFleur in Green Bay after their loss over the weekend against the Chicago Bears. So I would assume we will find out something on that in the next day or two. And then maybe potentially you're adding him to the list. And then there is another game tonight. You got Houston and Pittsburgh in the final game of Wild Card Weekend, which no longer is the weekend, on Monday Night Football. And what happens with Pittsburgh? Like, if they win, then obviously I think you'd feel pretty good about Tomlin moving forward there. But if not, it's going to be an interesting situation there with Pittsburgh. And people have been screaming about Tomlin around there for a long time. So could you actually add him to the list of all this? So we'll see what happens on the Pittsburgh part of this tonight. Ed says, not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but the Titans can mess anything up. If Lombardi came back to coach the Titans, there's a good chance they'd rename the award. So some Titans fans are very down on the Titans and their selection process and all these things.
Congratulations. You've won the Jeff Fisher Trophy. He did get to Super Bowl, by the way.
Close to at least tying it.
No, I understand the pessimism. It is totally understandable at this point. But do you as a Titans fan, do you feel like you've got a good GM? I think there's been a little overstating of the early returns on Mike Borgonzi, but I also think he's smart, and I think you got a chance there. Well, this organization hired him, so this organization could hire a good coach. Wasn't that long ago, they had like good coaching and GMing with the Tennessee Titans. Remember, 4 years ago, yep. Number one seed in the AFC. 4 years ago, yep. Number one seed.
By the way, we mentioned Mike McDaniel interviewing with the Titans this week. He is also interviewing with the Browns, the Falcons, and the Ravens. And he's also interviewing for the Lions' OC job. So you've got these head coaching interviews that are taking place for him. He's going to be interviewing for the offensive coordinator position for the Lions as well. And Pelissero pointed this out a few minutes ago on Twitter, and it's worth considering. I mean, McDaniel was an assistant coach with the Falcons when Matt Ryan, who just got hired as the president of football in Atlanta, was the NFL MVP and went to the Super Bowl there. So There is a connection between McDaniel and Matt Ryan.
And they can still be friends. Say, hey, buddy, good luck. And they can not go coach them. But, yeah.
I mean, people make a lot of these connections all the time. Right. And sometimes there's gas to it. Like, sometimes it means things. I mean, depending on who these coaches are, they're probably connections with a lot of people around.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty small fraternity if you really look at it. Like, most people know most people. Some people don't like other people, like Ben Johnson. Boy. By the way, did Vrabel, in his postgame last night, Vrabel, fuck the Chargers! Oh, oh, oh! Did he do that, or is that the thing? I mean, like, the debaggery of Ben Johnson was going to be the ramp, but then other things happened, but it should be mentioned today. You know, the team actually put out that video, which means 100% that he said, yes, you should put that. Like, all these coaches, and they're sitting there like, you know, like Vrabel a few weeks ago. Yeah, bleep him, right? Okay, on the sideline to his players. Yeah, great. Everybody says that. But you scream it in the locker room, and they're like, yeah, social media team, put that out there. You are a hell of a D-bag. I mean, Ben Johnson's like the Lane Kiffin of the NFL all of a sudden. Like, it hasn't taken long. So, good luck to you, Ben.
Let's see how it goes for him.
Things are going well right now.
They are.
Just saying. Things are going well. Enjoy it right now.
They are indeed. You know, on the Stefanski front, you know, the Titans put out the list over the weekend of people that they've interviewed. So, they just kind of released all the seven at the same time. And, you know, it's not like these interviews were a secret last week, but you know, it was Anarumo, Spagnuolo, Nagy, Vance Joseph, Kevin Stefanski, Mike McCoy, Jason Garrett have all officially been interviewed by the Tennessee Titans at this point. So you're talking about seven candidates that have been interviewed to this point. You got more coming this week, and that's not even factoring in, Joe. I mean, you know, Saleh has been a connection that's been made here. We've talked about McDaniel. Do they have plans to look at like a Kubiak in Seattle at some point when that opportunity becomes available now that they're going to be back in the fold coming up this next week? So I would imagine that we're, you know, if you're a Titans fan, somebody was asking me this over the weekend, like, are the Titans going to name their head coach this week? I mean, I guess it's possible, but this could still drag on a little bit here.
Yeah, it could go a bit. Just imagine if all this stuff, you know, let's say, look, LaFleur opens up, he talks to you. Let's say Harbaugh likes the Cam Ward film, he talks to you. They have all these different people, and then Jason Garrett's the hire. totally fair points, like made by TD last week, and people, it's like, yeah, let's step back and calm down, but still, imagine that.
I can imagine the fan base reaction to that.
Oh, what a day that would be in Titans land.
No, I would like to point out, I mean, one of the days on this show that will live in infamy is when the Vols hired Josh Heupel.
Yeah.
Like, who in the heck is that?
Heupel? Why would you do this?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And, you know, I understand that we'll see what he does moving forward here, but yeah. I think we would all agree it has been a good hire for Tennessee, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and also, if you want to go to all that stuff, it's like, wow, that Rand Carthon, that was one hell of a presser. Oh, yeah. That Brian Callahan, by golly, that guy is as sharp as a firecracker.
Exactly.
Right, that makes no sense. Sharp as a firecracker? You know what I'm saying.
I mean, you could run into some sharp firecrackers, I guess.
I suppose, yeah. He's just a cracker jack. I don't know. There's some sort of saying that I'm missing there. That guy is just a genius.
How about this from JC in Goodlettsville? I figured this might come up today. Said, A.J. Brown showed again why a trade of him wasn't crazy if he valued team chemistry.
Yeah, okay, JC. Yeah, I know. They've only been to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl. He's been one of the top five receivers in the league every year. Yeah, team chemistry. Yeah, there you go. It's all fine. The trade was good. A.J. was reading a book on the sideline on self-help. Come on, man. You're not serious with this crap, are you, JC?
Look, I figured that might come up today. There are clearly some things going on with A.J. Brown in Philadelphia right now.
Finally, we won the trade!
It's been pretty pretty successful tenure there for him.
Yeah.
To this point.
Yeah, now I do think that...
Dropped a couple passes yesterday.
He did. And one of them was like, it was fingertips. But yeah, that one over the middle, like you got to have that one. He will be somewhere else, I believe, right? I think.
I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that could happen with Philly. Again, right after winning the Super Bowl. And
having played in another one.
Yeah, and, you know, winning 12. What'd they win, 12, 11? 11 or 12 games this year? Through all this turmoil. But at the same time, I think there are some changes coming.
Keith says, I hope you guys think the next hire is awful based on your track record. That Titans hire sucks.
John Harbaugh, what has he ever done? Boo!
I'll tell you this, if you want me to think the next Titans hire is awful, you better hope they hire LaFleur.
Yeah, that's the thing. If it's LaFleur, Keith, you will not have to, although I'm going to have to
could
balance.
Be really good news for the Titans at that point.
I'm going to counterbalance it. You might probably won't want me to appear on the show that day and say anything positive about him because I think it would be a good hire, but call me crazy. Bears fans, just, you know what, go enjoy your – I've got enough texting with Ryan from Chicago about the Bears. I don't need to hear it from Bears fans. You are the most lucky, propped-up, garbage team I've ever seen at this point in the playoffs, and you're going to get crushed by the Rams.
Interested to see how that goes. By the way, shout-out to former Blackman High School quarterback Juwan Jennings for his touchdown pass in the game yesterday. That was a pretty good ball he threw.
No, you could see the quarterback right there in him because – that was on the run, on the move, perfect spiral right over the shoulder.
Yeah, it was a great throw.
And he was open, but it was like that was a dime. Juwan Jennings, man, he's tough.
Somebody put up the recruiting rankings too. Like he was a dual threat quarterback coming out of high school, and it's like Juwan Jennings. I forget where he was on the list, but
fifth,
it was like
maybe?
Fifth on the list, and then like right underneath him, it was like, oh, there's Joe Burrow Darnold. And Lamar Jackson and Darnold right underneath him. It's like Juwan Jennings outranked all those guys.
Yeah. Maybe he should have gone that route, man.
Maybe. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The national championship tickets have been punched in the college football playoff. We will break down Miami and Indiana. And what a performance again by Kirk Cignetti and Indiana. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
I've actually not played in Hard Rock before, but I've been to a lot of games there. And, I mean, it's a very full circle moment for myself. If you open Google Maps and put my address to the University of Miami campus, it's under a mile away. And, you know, walk there, bike there, you know, play basketball rec games in the offseason there. And it means a lot to me. However, I think the national championship means a lot to everybody. So I wouldn't want it any other way, you know, on a great stage that the Indiana Hoosiers are going to have to, you know, compete their butt off. They're a great team and really looking forward to the opportunity.
Coach, I know you're thinking about the next game. When will you stop and appreciate how special and how historic all of this has been?
I'm really not thinking about the next game. I'm thinking about cracking open a beer.
All right, well, go celebrate with your family. Congrats. Enjoy that beer, Coach.
Thanks.
Indiana gets it done again. They destroyed Oregon. 56-22, the final score, as Indiana punches their ticket to the national title game to take on Miami. In Miami, which is also very interesting. Joe, what did you make of the utter destruction that the Indiana Hoosiers put forth to the Oregon Ducks in the semifinal on Friday?
Two of the most awkward people I've ever seen about to win it all together. Awkward in totally different ways.
Yes.
Cignetti and Mendoza. I don't know. What's the – oh, the movie Up. Someone had that as like – yeah, Cignetti is the old guy, yeah. and Mendoza is
Russell.
Kid.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay!
Or like sitting the bus, that bus meme, you know, where there's somebody who's like, oh, like looking out one window and they're so miserable. The other person's like, yay, so great,
Mr. Fredrickson.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's amazing, and it's amazing that some people are so stupid that they don't understand that they're just going to kick the crap out of everyone they play. For example, me, who picked Oregon after watching what they did to Alabama, talked myself into, well, maybe Alabama is just, you know, kind of just really dropped the ball and not very good. No, man, they are an absolute wagon. I mean, Oregon, and I was fooled by Oregon against Texas Tech, which apparently just stinks. I mean, just humiliation delivered by Indiana. It's incredible. And again, you're not going up and down the roster and seeing a bunch of 5 stars or 4 stars or really even high NFL picks, although they've got some guys who are going to play in the NFL. But, like, not a lot of high picks. But they are just a like, they don't make mistakes. They are – Cignetti out-coaches other coaches, period. Like, they are going to have answers because of him and his staff. And then they don't make mistakes. They're mature. They're solid. And they just bludgeon you over time. And, yes, they're old. This is the new knock on. It's like everybody's got to find a new thing with Indiana. The new knock is, well, you just a bunch of old. Yeah, okay, well, yeah. I mean, there is something to be said for build a team with mature, grown men who still have eligibility, and they might just – beat up on some 19-year-old 5 stars.
Well, look, they are putting together a resume that if they go out there and they beat Miami in the national championship game, and particularly if they beat Miami handily in the national championship game, I mean, they're putting together all-time team status sort of resume, right? And a lot of people over the weekend were discussing Indiana compared to like 2019 LSU. And I would assume the NFL talent from LSU and the NFL talent from Indiana are not going to be remotely the same.
Not close.
Would be my guess. I mean, who knows? Maybe Mendoza comes out as like the greatest quarterback of all
time. Well, I mean, he's going to be – you're going to have a Heisman-winning number one quarterback. Yeah. But then it gets different.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think there's Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson walking around in Indiana right now. But they are just absolutely destroying people. I mean, they kicked the crap out of Alabama. They just totally destroyed Oregon. They're a 7.5-point favorite in the national championship game against Miami. And, look, I understand Miami's been incredibly impressive, and their defense has played really well. But, I mean, I got to be honest with you, Joe, my expectation is that they may hang around for a little while, and then Indiana's probably going to win by, like, 17 points because why would I not think that at this point?
Yeah. I'm with you. Like, you can talk yourself into Miami can run the ball. Malachi Toney is an incredible talent. Carson Beck's playing well. They've got absolute studs in the defensive line. You can talk yourself into, oh, by the way, they're playing in Miami. Does that matter? The ticket prices for this thing are outrageous.
The thousands.
Which to me suggests Indiana.
I agree. So I actually think it'll be more of a home game for Indiana in Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting. Hopefully it'll be about 50-50. That'd be great, right? That'd be great for a national championship game. But, no, I'm with you. You can talk yourself into Miami being good enough to win this game. But at this point, I just expect the Hoosiers to kick the crap out of them.
It's kind of weird to me, sorry, that Indiana, their offense relies so much on back shoulder throws.
It does. And
the Mendoza to that other wide receiver.
Elijah Surratt, yeah.
I can't think of his name. Yep.
Yeah.
It's like every other play is some back shoulder throw to the sideline, and it's there every time.
It's a layup for them, even though when the coverage is good. Yeah.
You just don't see that as like a regular offensive play over and over like that.
And then Mendoza he'll take off. He's fat. He's got speed. Like, he'll take off and beat you. And they have two good backs. And then Becker, you know, the kid who, by the way, you know, my son played 7-on-7 with him.
He made a nice catch.
Would not have guessed that this was going to materialize. But he's going to be, I mean, he's going to play in the league.
Yeah.
Like this, he is a deep threat. And it's amazing to see what this team has done. And again, they got a bunch of, good players on D. They don't have stars. They don't have high picks. I think they have like probably 5-6 guys who are going to be in the NFL in some form, but none of them are clear. You know, they're just like good football players who the sum of the parts is, it's all that. And again, the coaching, and I think what he does, he is Saban, right? I mean, he's from the Saban tree, but I just think that he has such a great system of, and I remember last year doing a story, it was like, They don't practice long. Like, it's very, very – they don't like – he's big on, no, we're not doing the stay till 3 a.m. crap. Go home. Do your work from 9 to 5 – not 9 to 5, but it's whatever, 7 to 7, and leave.
Get out. Yeah.
And, like, there's a lot about what he does. I think a lot of people are going to try to copy, but it all, like, makes sense. None of it is, like, changing the formula of football or anything, but it just all makes sense, and it's just businesslike and just so impressive.
Well, and again, like – the quarterback matchup in that game, Dante Moore, Fernando Mendoza, really good on paper heading into it. And, you know, everything just – I can't get over how easy everything has looked for Mendoza to this point. And that's – you know, obviously he deserves credit for that. I think his coaching staff deserves credit for that. Whatever they're doing offensively, I mean, people just can't figure it out. Like, they cannot stop him offensively. And, you know – if you were thinking that Alabama was just, well, Kalen DeBoer has totally lost control at Alabama and they're just not very good. Look, maybe I don't know what the future is going to look like for Alabama and Kalen DeBoer here. But, I mean, we know what Oregon is. Like, Oregon is a really good program. I think Dan Lanning is a really good coach. Typically, when they lose to teams that are very, very good and, like, competing for national championships. And it was clear. I don't know. You tell me, Joe. Early in the second quarter, that they had no shot of winning that game against Indiana. None.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like the pick six right away. Then Oregon, really good drive. You know, really good drive. Touchdown. Like, oh, okay, here we go. But it just didn't matter. They couldn't get a stop. And Oregon's, and by the way, Oregon has some dudes on D who are going to be high picks. And they have, like, the talent differential, again, by recruiting stars. But it's massive between those two teams. And Dan Lanning's a really good coach. Like, they're going to get there, and I'm sure at some point he's going to win it. You know, we'll get into in the next few years until he does, just like a lot of coaches, until they do it, the noise gets a little louder. Because last year he got blown out by Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. This year he gets blown. He's going to be fine. They're going to be really good. And, yes, they just got completely outclassed. It also is really interesting just – quick aside on the Dante Moore NFL thing, because I watch him and I'm like, no, you go back to college.
I agree.
And yet he'll go like number two or number three if he comes out. I don't – that's going to be a fascinating decision this week from him. Because, you know, I'm sure he could probably get $5-6 million to play for Oregon this year. By the way, did you see AL.com reported, a quick aside to the aside, but reported the Ty Simpson numbers.
$6.5 million
Offered $6.5 million by who? By
I didn't see who it was by. I just saw it was $6.5 million
Oh, by Miami.
Okay.
Yeah, offered that, $6.5 million by Miami. Tennessee came in just at a light $4 million
Yeah.
According to AL.com. Just $4 million But I think Ty Simpson's going to stay in there. You know, and he's going to be like the third. And if Dante Moore makes a decision, which I think would be the right decision, to not start the clock on getting bounced out of the NFL. That's what it is, right? So you're not ready. You're going to go. You're going to go high. Everybody's going to demand you play. You're going to play. You're not going to be good, and you're going to be out, as opposed to make $6 million and get better.
Yeah.
Right? And if that's the case, Ty Simpson is the number two quarterback in the draft.
We've talked about Mendoza from an NFL standpoint, and I think it's pretty clear he's probably going number one overall. Has the run that he's been on made you think any differently about, like, maybe the type of pro that he can be?
Yeah, it has for me. I mean, Charles Robinson came out a few weeks ago, and he mentioned, like, some people think Cousins is the ceiling, or like, and I get the comparison. I do. But I think he's better. I think, again, he can hurt you with his legs. He has a good feel for that, and he can run. I don't know that he has the, you know, the greatest arm or anything like that. But yeah, I have to look at it. Does Cignetti give him the answers? Is he going first read a lot? I do think that, you know, which. But that's just because, like, they're so good. But I feel better about them. How about you?
I mean, look, I don't know what to make of how easy it looks for him right now. Like, is it – how much of that is him? How much of that is just their operation and what they're doing? I don't know the answer to that. But, I mean, if you're a Raiders fan sitting here right now, the way that he's playing, don't you have to kind of be salivating a little bit of him? And look at our guy. I mean, look, goofiness aside, I'm interested to see what that looks like in the NFL, but he's balling right now.
Yeah. Now, if I'm a Raiders fan, I probably a couple weeks ago was like, oh, I know we're going to take him because he's just the top quarterback. And now you might starting to be getting a little bit excited.
Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your reaction to get to from Indiana, punching their ticket to the national championship game, continuing to react to wild card weekend in the NFL as well. The Rex Rant coming up at 7:45. Corey Curtis with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Smashville Live returning Wednesday night at 6 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. You can meet your Preds players up close and personal. Also get your chance for autographs and pictures as well. That's Wednesday night at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. And only on 102.5 The Game. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, and with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, the Raiders have already ruined a quarterback's career. Normally one could tank a drug test and attempt to slide in the draft to avoid getting selected by the Raiders.
Mendoza turns into a
please,
total.
Please, don't take me.
Mendoza just shows up at the combine like, screw all you guys. Wearing a bandana. It's like, yeah, that's right.
Eli says,
renegade.
Eli says, if you're the Raiders, you better be excited about Mendoza. He's a better version of Justin Herbert coming out. What do you make of that?
Well, okay, so no. Like, this is the difference with Mendoza. Like, Justin Herbert's physical gifts and physical talent is well beyond Fernando Mendoza.
That would right. Agree.
But it doesn't mean that Mendoza can't be a more successful quarterback than Justin Herbert.
Yep.
You know, the Cousins stuff is, again, Cousins is a great example of, you know, processing and accuracy can overcome. He's not physically gifted at all. You know, he just isn't. Mendoza, I think.
No disrespect to Kirk.
Yes. Mendoza is more than Kirk, I believe, but he's closer to that than like he is like a Herbert. Herbert's a unicorn physically.
Who's faster, Cam Ward or Fernando Mendoza? Line him up and race.
Oh, Fernando Mendoza's quite a bit faster. Oh, yeah. No, seriously.
I think you think Cam Ward is like a tortoise out there.
I mean, if you watch him run.
I mean, he doesn't. He's not fast. I know that.
He's slow. Now, again, you can be slow and you can be
shifty.
Elusive. Like Brady also ran like a diseased goat, okay? But
Joe finally called him a goat. Took long enough.
Yeah. Well, he is the goat. He's
That's what I'm saying.
He's in a way, he's a goat. But great feel in the pocket for eluding, and he'd go get you 6-7 yards when he needed to. Like Cam Ward can do that too.
That's good. Yeah. Just compared Cam Ward's running ability to Brady.
By the way, yeah, that's about right. I think it's close. JC,
he's faster than Brady.
I mean, I think they're both slow. Jason Gillisville says, I like how Joe calls me on the A.J. Brown comment, who could flame it at any moment, yet he picked Oregon over Indiana after domination. Yeah, JC, I suck at picking games. Your comment about A.J. Brown was dumb. They're both things are true. Very simple.
One texter says, this is honestly the first game I've really watched Mendoza. Is it me or is he going to be the next Sam Bradford? I did see the Bradford comparison a lot this weekend. Yeah.
Huh.
And look, Bradford, I mean, injuries were really his story in the NFL. So, I mean, he did not work out in the NFL. How much of that was because he wasn't very good and how much of that was because he just had injury after injury in the league? I have no idea. But, I mean, the style comparison is interesting.
How is Mendoza in his accuracy? You think it'll carry over pretty good? I mean, the throws he made, the back shoulder and the long touchdown looked pretty accurate to me.
Yeah, tremendously accurate. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's accuracy over huge cannon arm, right? But I think he's got enough arm. But, yeah, the accuracy is fantastic.
From a draft standpoint, the interesting part about this with the Titans is I think it's clear Mendoza – I mean, clear. It's January the 12th. I think Mendoza's going number one overall to the Raiders. Is there going to be another quarterback that's going to go before the Titans are picking at number four? That's the interesting part. Because if you're the Titans at this point, you're hoping yes.
Yeah.
So all those players get knocked down where you've got as much of a pick of the litter as you can have at number four with all these positions not named quarterback. And I'm just wondering, is there going to be another quarterback that goes before the Titans other than Mendoza? Like, I have no idea if Moore's coming out or not. Even if he does, like, I'm with you. He'll probably go way higher than he should at this point. But like, when the NFL teams go through the evaluation, are they going to be comfortable taking Moore at, like, number two overall or number three overall? Like, are the Jets like, yep, give me Dante Moore right now? I mean, it's the Jets, so maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's all kinds of jokes. Oh, it looks like a Jets quarterback. Here we go. I mean, I think so. Like, I think that's the thing. If you're a Titans fan, root for Dante Moore to come out, even though it may not be the smartest thing. But yeah, I mean, I think that teams are going to talk themselves into it. That's what usually happens. And quarterbacks go way higher than they're supposed to. The one year that it didn't, you know, was that year – you know, the Pickett, Malik Willis year, but
maybe Malik just needed some time, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Should have gone number two.
He should have gone that high, I guess. But it actually is funny when you think about it. He's a great example of, you know, expectations are low, you have time to develop, all of a sudden, wow, you're pretty good. Versus, again, if Dante Moore comes out, if I was him and if I was in his camp, I would just be worried about, so everything's going to be accelerated, including your exile from whatever place you're drafted, and that's how it goes. So that's why I would wait. But again, if Anthony Richardson waited, would things be different for him? I don't know. But everybody was like, oh my God, look at these skills, look at the talent, ability, he's got to go this high. And oh, well, he's got to start this year. Yeah. And look at what has happened.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, one texter brings up, what about Beck? You know, I think Beck has really helped himself here. Like, is Beck going to be a top 10 pick? Is Beck going in the first round after what he's put together? I mean, like I said last week, you know, we were talking before last college football season about him potentially being a number one overall pick.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if Beck comes out and carves up Indiana, throws for 350 and wins it all, is there a team or is there a team or two who just like, why would this guy not be as good as anybody? He has the physical ability. Like, I would argue that Carson Beck physically, just measure everything out, he probably will outdo Fernando Mendoza.
I would assume.
So if he performs like this on this stage, because I think last game he helped himself without question late in that game with some of his throws. It's a really interesting thing with him. We could go to, oh, he's going to be here. Oh, he's a UDFA. Oh, he's back in the top 10. Sure.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then, you know.
It just shows you the entire science of drafting a quarterback.
Well, and
because
somebody, I mean,
whacked.
And we didn't even bring up Simpson. Like, he's going pro, so somebody could fall in love with him. Trinidad Chambliss was denied eligibility, so I guess he's going to try to go to the NFL here, too. And I don't know exactly what sort of a draft profile he's going to have. But
I mean, he's 6 foot.
Yeah, exactly.
But so, I don't dislike him at all.
But, I mean, the quarterback pictures we sit here today on January 12th, as it relates to the Titans and who's going to be available come that fourth spot in the draft, I have no idea if there's going to be another quarterback taken beyond Mendoza in the top four.
No. No idea. This could be Mendoza and then wait till the second round or whatever draft, but I just don't think so. I think people will talk themselves, these quarterback needy teams will talk themselves into it. So it happens for the most part. And, you know, frankly, the Titans did them last year.
They did.
Instead of moving down.
They did. We'll see what happens on that front. I mean, I can't wait. I mean, every time Fernando Mendoza speaks now, can you imagine what he's going to be like if they win the national championship game? I mean, I've been thinking about it all weekend. It's like the Fernando Mendoza post-game interview after they've mopped the floor with Miami by 25 points is just going to be totally electric out there. Yeah. I can't wait.
The problem is he's on all the – so then he's on the desk, and then he's up at the stage, and he says the exact same things over and over again.
I'll be paying attention
him a
to the
different
one right
question.
Off the field.
Yeah, right off the field will be – pretty special, no doubt. Someone talking Todd Marinovich comparison. What in the world? I mean, Todd Marinovich was talented lefty who had all kinds of stuff going on. I don't know that one, man.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad is coming up next. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I might lose my mind today.
And we want him to be nothing more than him.
And I swear he looks like a diseased chicken.
There was a lot of meat, you know what I mean? And of course I ate all of it.
Ran like a diseased goat. Knows his butt from his elbow.
Do you know your elbow from your ass?
Well, we talked to him about being willing to spill some blood out there.
Vrabel leaving the field here stained in blood.
Fuck the Chargers! Oh, ho, ho!
There's no faux outrage. You're outraging me. Mother farter, shut up.
It's time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Heal from the inside out. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Every day at 7:45 here on the program.
What was the sort of like crowd cheering?
That thing? Was Ben Johnson's locker room there.
Oh, lovely. Well, I was gonna rant about Ben Johnson today, mostly just for the benefit of our friend Ryan from Chicago. But something else has taken its place. We will we can get more into Ben Johnson later. We got some Bears fans on the text line who think their team doesn't suck. That's cute. It's adorable. Enjoy your little playoff win. It's going to come to an end. And, yes, Matthew Stafford probably hates cold weather, and yet he's still going to beat your team. But today we need to talk about the sensation that's sweeping the nation. I guess we can just go to Liam Cohen's post-game press conference after losing a tough game to the Buffalo Bills yesterday. Here was a, question from a media person at the press conference.
I just want to tell you congratulations on your success, young man.
Thank you.
You hold your head up, all right? You guys have had a most magnificent season.
Thank you.
And you did a great job out there today.
Appreciate
so you
it.
Just hold your head up, okay?
Thank
and
you,
ladies
ma'am.
And gentlemen, Duval, you the one, all
Thank
right?
You, ma'am.
You keep it going. We got another season, okay?
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care and much continued success to you and the entire team.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right, so.
Very nice lady.
She sounds very nice. She said that, and that was at the post-game press conference. And then Adam Schefter tweeted, like, this was awesome. And then a bunch of people who are in media, including me, were like, My quote tweet to Schefter was like, are you saying awesome sarcastically? And then a bunch of people, and it's just been this huge thing on social media. Now, I don't want to yell at anybody today because all I'm getting is yelled at about this. But I have to just ask. So, first of all, this is a woman. I'll get her name. She is like the editor of the Jacksonville Free Press. So she is a credentialed media person. I think it's great if fans of the Jaguars like say nice things to Liam Cohen.
Sure.
You send him something. Again, when he's walking off the field, say, hey, man, great job. He did a great job. Jacksonville Jaguars fans should be excited about it. Not mad. It's not the end of the world. It's not the biggest deal. I mean, really, Schefter causes this whole thing with his stupid tweet. Like, if he didn't tweet this, I mean, we probably wouldn't have known it happened, right?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, what happened?
LaFleur's getting an extension, I think.
Oh, my gosh. Right in the middle of the rant, LaFleur's getting an extension. Do you want to switch the rant? You can take the rant if you'd like. Almighty.
Somebody punch me.
Here we go. Schefter's right. Speaking of Schefter, hi, Schefty. See, this is stuff you should do, Schefter. Report NFL news, okay? We don't need your commentary on anything. But, yeah, here you go. Matt LaFleur expected to try to work out an extension. All right.
Well. Expected to try?
What does try mean?
Well,
how hard do we try?
Yeah, that is a weird.
I mean, that would suggest to me that he's probably not getting fired.
Yeah, that is
anyway, go back to your rant. I couldn't help but have a visceral reaction in the middle of it. Sorry.
That is a weird framing of the whole thing. So, look, again, I'm not mad about this. I've just been on a complete muting frenzy on Twitter because the quote tweet, and then Sparks tweeted something. Again, everybody's saying the same thing, which is like, guys, no offense to her. It seems like a very nice person. Kind words. Press conferences are just – it's a very limited amount of time to try to get information.
It's not the spot for that.
You're trying to get information.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. And it's – I don't know how it is with the Jags press, or maybe it's a little different. You know, they don't have the biggest press corps. They probably have one of the smallest press corps, actually. But you might get a couple questions in after a game. This is the end of the season game. There's a lot that went on in that game. So, yeah, you know, just this ESPN goofball just like, these self-important journalists. No, it's just – like, it's just not the place for it. You know, I'm sorry. It's not the end of the world, but the angry reaction and what I'm basically getting like on Twitter is like, this is why your industry's failing. It's like, because we're not like, I have a question. Mike, you're amazing, and I just want you to know that you're amazing, and I believe in you. Have a great off season. Next season's going to be even better. Thanks, Mike. That's just not, press conference is not when you do it. I'm sorry. If you hate media people, that's fine. I mean, I think some of this is just – yeah, here we go. Oh, Robert says Joe's just jealous of Schefter. That's it. There you go. It's always jealousy or, you know.
What exactly would you be jealous of Schefter about in this situation?
Well, I guess just – I mean, I definitely am jealous of Schefter's bank account. he makes a lot of money sucking up to everyone and not being a journalist in any way. I just don't understand why people get so mad at us for saying, yeah, this just isn't the place for
it. It's pretty simple here. I'm sure she's a nice lady. Sounded like a really encouraging person there. The post-game press conference in a media setting, probably not spot for that. It's pretty simple.
Right. And it happens sometimes. Like last year, I was covering Louisville in Rupp Arena. They lost. I think Creighton crushed them in the NCAA tournament. And there was a situation a little bit like this, which was like basically a Louisville like fan magazine. It wasn't this over the top, but it was like, we're just so proud of what you did this year. And it's just like, dude, again, what are you gonna do? You're gonna roll your eyes and say, all right, move on. But there is limited time, and sometimes like there's more questions than you can get in. Like, especially when a team loses a tough game, those things can get condensed and people can be like, okay, that's it. And you don't get in all the questions that you want to get in. Like, it's actually a thing. That does happen.
It does.
Ben from Cumberland City, I guess that kills that Nashville has the softest media narrative.
I would have paid a lot of money to have Kuharsky be a part of that press conference and that happened here. You imagine, like, at the end of the year, Mike McCoy, you just keep your head up. You guys did a great job. You keep your head up.
You're wonderful. You're so wonderful.
Yeah, it's just, you know. Yeah, Robert. Yeah, well, Schefter started this. I'm mad at Schefter, Robert. I am. I'm not jealous. I am mad at Schefter.
I thought Cohen handled himself, actually.
I thought it was pretty well.
What do you say? Like, thank you.
I mean, after something like that, you're pretty down. And he was like, yes, ma'am. Thank you. Like, yeah. I don't know. It just would have thrown me off. Cohen was exceedingly nice.
What if Cohen was like, you shut up.
I was really hoping for a nice Duval from him to, you know, book in the season. Like, you the first tire and then the end of the playoffs. Like, just put it together. He didn't deliver.
Yesterday. She said Duval. Duval. He could have given the Duval right
he
back.
He could have, but Duval, he didn't do it.
Duval.
He seems to be pretty hesitant to do that in the aftermath of the first one.
I do agree with Ben from Cumberland City. I'm not going to lie. I need someone like this woman in my life on the daily just to encourage you. I agree.
I mean, I agree.
It's a very good thing to say nice things to people. It is. It's a good thing. I just saying, like, this is not the forum for that. These are very small periods of time that you're trying to get information from people. It's okay. Thanks, Schefter.
Titans fans, if you're wanting Matt LaFleur to be your next head coach, I guess that's not going to happen.
Well, sorry, Titans. Sorry, Titans fans, and sorry, Packers fans. Everybody's unhappy about this. Fan bases that wanted Matt LaFleur, and the one that has him does not want him.
If,
so,
if the Packers are expected to try to work out a deal with Matt LaFleur in the coming days, I mean, that would say that Harbaugh will still be out there. So, Titans fans, if you want John Harbaugh, I guess he's still going to be out there and available.
Well, we continue to, you know, wait to see. Yeah, I'm serious. If John Harbaugh believes that Cam Ward is worth him interviewing with the Titans. It sounds very arrogant, but that's what it is, right?
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
It's going to be fascinating.
Wonder what kind of leash Harbaugh would get here.
From the fans, you mean?
No.
From Amy?
Yeah. Just like if you hire Harbaugh, how long are you in it for? Just see if it turns around. And if it doesn't, what happens?
I mean, that's always a fair question with her.
Well, yeah, and also
getting ahead of ourselves here, of course.
But thing is, if you come here is if you go 8-9, you get celebrated now, right? It's been so bad for so long. So even if Harbaugh just has an average year, then it's like, oh, see, this guy
progress
makes all the difference. Yeah.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Corey Curtis will be with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.